My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
This episode is brought to you by Almond Joy. With its perfect blend of real, creamy coconut, rich, chocolatey taste, and a satisfying almond crunch, Almond Joy is the taste that simply takes you away. Blissful tropical flavors will have you feeling sunny vibes and ocean breezes in every bite. Almond Joy is the ticket to a sweet, indulgent, laid-back escape, one you'll want to return to again and again. Grab the creamy coconut and chocolatey crunch of Almond Joy today and taste paradise.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Morning.
Now, Anton, I'm getting lots of mouth ulcers and a sore tongue. Does this mean I'm lacking in vitamins? I am very careful while brushing my teeth.
So it can do. Sore tongue, mouth ulcers can be lots of things. Sore tongue can be low in things like vitamin B12 would be quite common for a sore tongue. Being generally low in B vitamins can do that. The one thing I would look at is I would start thinking about celiac disease. Because
always think about celiac disease.
Well, I work for celiac disease, but I see this a lot. It's actually Celiac Awareness Month this month, and the Celiac Society are running a whole lot of events to raise awareness about it. And so we've loads of stuff going on, webinars, and there's loads of information on the website at celiac.ie, and really wonderfully sponsored by Promise Gluten Free. But what I would say is that people are expecting the whole get gut issues, but actually a lot of people get recurrent mouth ulcers and a sore tongue. And actually a lot of dentists pick up celiac disease because people are coming in going, I'm having these mouth ulcers. So if they've been ongoing and nothing else has fixed them, I'd definitely be going to the doctor, but I'd get your B vitamins checked, B12, folate, definitely get those checked, but also get your celiac test while you're there.
Is a B vitamin a thing that you can get naturally, or is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you'll get your B vitamins in all different foods. So there's lots of different ones, so it's easy to miss out on one or two if you're missing a whole food group. Like if you don't eat any animal products, you have to take a supplement of B12 because you're just not getting B12 from plant foods. They don't pick it up, so it's just not there.
So vegans have to get that.
So vegans, yeah, they have to eat foods that are fortified with B12 or take a supplement with it. And we see vegetarians typically have lower levels of B vitamins because we get a lot more B vitamins in animal foods like meat and milk and so on are quite high in B vitamins. Plant foods are less. Now you can get plenty on it. So vegetarians, we don't usually see an issue, but vegans, that one for the B12 is often significant.
With vegetarians, do they really commit, or is it just sort of an excuse to eat pasta and pizza all the time?
No, it's really varied. I mean, everybody eats the way they eat for a million different reasons, you know, so lots of people are very committed to it, and they do
proper vegetables all the time,
proper real vegetables and pulses and everything, you
know? On the topic of commitment, somebody deeply committed to fiber, can you tell me if All Bran is a good source of fiber? I am a vegetarian and I mix All Bran with my porridge oats.
All Bran actually is a fantastic source of fiber. It's what we call insoluble fiber largely, so roughage, which is really good. I think you're getting like 11 grams a bowl. If you take a kind of per serving, which compares to maybe 3 or 4 grams per serving in porridge.
Which is not so bad either, is it?
No, it's pretty good. Like you want 25 grams of fibre a day. So the porridge will give you 3 or 4. Your All Bran will give you about 11 if you have a... But mixing it in, it's a great way to use it. Like if you've never eaten All Bran, I wouldn't sit down and have a giant bowl straight away. And particularly if you're not eating a whole lot of fibre at the moment. But if you mix it in with stuff, it's actually a brilliant way to top up fibre in foods.
What are the other ways to get fibre that don't require you to commit to it as a specific thing? Are there other just eat this and you'll get enough fiber?
The thing about fiber is there's no one food going to give you all of your fiber. You actually have to have a bit of fruit and veg at every meal. You want to be looking for the high fiber foods like the whole grains, the whole grain bread, high fiber cereals, that kind of thing. And then seeds are brilliant. And then beans and lentils are fantastic. They're the really big ones. Like a tin of baked beans is going to give you about 14, 15 grams of fiber. So they're brilliant if you like beans.
Text saying, I had mouth ulcers regularly for years. I had to use toothpaste without sodium lauryl sulfate, a frothing agent. Now I very rarely get them.
Great.
Another, when I eat bread, pasta or rice, I think this one may be right up your street. When I eat bread, pasta or rice, I become bloated and quite low in mood. Any advice?
Well, I would go and see what's going on with the bloating. The thing with the low mood, rice doesn't have gluten in it. So typically it's not a problem for someone who's celiac with that. So it might be something else going on there. But I'd definitely be sort of ruling out celiac anyway, especially with the low mood, because we do know with celiac disease, it primarily affects the gut. But in a third of people, it triggers the immune or the nervous system as well. So a lot of people actually have a very solid dip in mood, like drop down, not want to go out, not want to go anywhere if they have gluten when they're celiac. So I'd always be checking that out. But otherwise, I'd see a registered dietitian and just get your diet kind of checked out.
That's one of the areas that is generating a lot of interesting research at the moment, is that connection between gut and mood and gut and brain, isn't it?
Huge amount, because we've huge, very direct nerve connections between the gut and the brain. And we also know that your gut bacteria produce a lot of compounds that actually seem to be having an impact on mood as well. So when we kind of feed our gut bacteria with fiber, and then they produce these compounds, and then they come back into the body, and they do things like help regulate your appetite, but they seem to have a role in mood as well. And like, your gut is making most of your serotonin, which is your happy hormone. So you think you're kind of, your serotonin is brain focused, but only about 10% of your serotonin is made in the brain. 90% of it actually comes from the gut. So you want a really nice, healthy gut for a very good mood.
How do you know if somebody has a healthy gut? Is it only symptomatic by how they feel, or is there a way to actually check you have a nice biome?
Well, to be honest, there is no standard way. I mean, obviously, if you have a friend in the appropriate lab, they can probably check. But we don't really know. I mean, we still don't have a test for gut. We haven't even identified most of the gut bacteria yet. You know, like, we're 100 years away from actually doing that, or they're struggling. There's so many and so many different ones and all the rest. So not really. I mean, you're generally going to look at how is the person feeling, basically, what's happening when they go to the loo? Are they going daily? Are they, you know, is it looking nice and healthy and all that sort of stuff? So you're kind of judging around there, but you're looking at overall health, skin health, all of that kind of in together.
And presumably then as well, gut bacteria must be geographical based on people's diet.
Yep, definitely. So we do see differences around the world with it. And there was a really interesting study, I think from Trinity there a few years ago, and they looked at the microbiome of people from the travelling community and found they had actually different gut bacteria compared to settled community, which was really, really interesting. So some unique markers in there with that. So you do, but that's why you'll get, traveller's diarrhea, because you'll go to a different country and you'll be exposed to different bacteria and they will change your gut for a little while. And then, you know, if you stay there for a while, it'll settle down. But yeah, you get different gut bacteria, different countries.
A text asking, how good is peanut butter? My kids love it, but I was worried it might be a junk food. Am I wrong?
No, you're wrong. It's great food. It's actually brilliant. So it's peanuts ground up. So it's quite high in protein. There's lots of nice B vitamins.
Is it not just a big ball of fat?
It's that too. So it is very high in fat. So what you don't want to do is sort of sit down with a jar and eat it. But if you're spreading a bit on toast, you know, it's actually fine like that as well. No, it's good food.
These kind of things where I have these half remembered that are usually inaccurate, but I have a feeling that I read about peanut butter that it was originally designed as effectively almost a quasi survival food.
Yep.
That it was one of those easiest way to get calories into somebody in a nutritional way.
So it was actually designed initially to get protein and calories into people with no teeth.
Is that what it was?
Once your teeth go, it's very hard to chew things like meat and fish and stuff like that. So that was one thing someone was trying to just feed somebody.
Apparently that's how they got Mr. Ed to talk as well. Do you remember Mr. Ed the talking horse?
Sadly I do, yeah. Yes.
they'd smear peanut butter on his upper gum and he'd spend his time trying to work it off with his lips, and that gave you your talking horse. A text saying, what's the vegan version of red meat and how can I avoid overly processed vegan alternatives?
There's a whole lot of overly processed everything all over the place. But with vegan, your alternative to red meat, to be honest, is going to be your beans and your lentils, because that's your protein, but also your iron. And that's the key thing to watch. Your red meat will give us an awful lot of our iron. So things like your chickpeas, your kidney beans and things like that. What you've got to watch though with vegetarian protein is you need a lot more of the food than you would if you're eating meat. And I'd always use the example, if you look at say a chicken breast, you'll get around 35 grams of protein from that. The same amount, if you were to measure it, of chickpeas will only give you 7 grams of protein. So the protein is there in the chickpeas, you just need to bulk it right up to actually hit targets. And if you look at, you know, there's cultures where people are vegetarian all the time, but they have lentils at every meal. They eat enormous amounts of yogurt. You know what I mean? There's protein constantly coming in beyond what you would count as protein with that. So it's really important, particularly for bone health. As we get older, if you're vegetarian, make sure you're getting plenty of protein.
How good are humans at naturally regulating what they need? I remember a study from the 50s that one of those, you can't do that anymore, where they gave a load of kids free rein and the kids ate bizarre stuff for about 4 or 5 days, but then found relatively balanced diets just by instinct. Does that happen?
It can do. I mean, there's a huge area of research on behaviour. And I think one of the difficulties in sort of the current environment is so much food absolutely everywhere all the time. And we are triggered to eat when we see food. So if you go back 30 years ago, you could walk through Dublin, you mightn't see anything to eat. Now, you know, there's just food everywhere and it's food to eat straight away. It's not even kind of going into a restaurant to sit down and wait for a meal you can just grab. So when we're surrounded by that and food advertising and everything, it's that constant trigger to eat. But we do see there's a certain amount of self-regulation with it. You know, for some people, others know it doesn't. So we do see some people where particularly the hormones to help you feel full just don't kick in. So this is where a lot of people are using, you know, we talk about these weight loss injections, Ozempic and all those kind of things. That's where they're fantastic for people who don't have that hormonal regulation with it. But for a lot of us, we will sort of self-regulate if the food is available and in choice all the time. Yeah.
You mentioned that this is Celiac Month. If people want to find out more, you're doing webinars and stuff, are you?
We've been doing webinars. We've had a couple on over the last few weeks. They're available on the website. We have another webinar on Wednesday, which I'll be doing at 1 o'clock on Wednesday. And it's online if anyone wants to register. And that's going to be long-term consequences of celiac disease. So if you have it and you're not treating it or you don't know that you have it, we'll be going through some of the reasons why you really do need to get checked.
Oh, there's long-term. It's not just day-to-day.
Yeah, so if you're celiac and you eat gluten, you're more likely to develop osteoporosis. There's a risk of bowel cancer, we see infertility, we see stunted growth in children, we see a lot of issues with it. Yeah, so it's really important to be properly treated for it if they can. So there's loads of information at celiac.ie and I have a couple of videos on my Instagram account at sarahkyoord as well if people want to have a look there.
And if they go on celiac.ie, that's where they can get access to the webinar.
Yep,
and register.
They can register for that and then join. And any questions then I'll be answering.
Sarah, as ever, thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.